Wendy's Coffee House. Hello, I'm Wendy. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We're going to get into the Ariel phenomenon. My guest is director Randall Nickerson. This is a feature documentary about the Ariel School UFO incident, an African extraterrestrial encounter witnessed by over 60 school children in 1994. And we get a look at the students when they were children and then revisiting after they are adults to find out how it might have changed their lives for better or worse.
That's the hard part. How do you fit it into your world? Because when it happens, your world gets shattered. Your worldview gets shattered. John Mack talks about that a lot. And then how do you reconstruct your world to include that these things exist?
My guest is Randall Nickerson, and this guy's been around the block a time or two, okay? Because with the new movie, The Ariel Phenomenon, which has been a decade at least in the making, I'm so thrilled that I'm able to just finally say, it's here, you can see it, this is a phenomenal story, and it's been a long time coming. Randall Nickerson, you are incredible, tenacious, you didn't give up. Thank you. Give us a backstory on how this came to you, because we'll touch on John Mack, but I want to know how you decided to go ahead and say, all right, this is a story and I'm doing it.
Wow, hi, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Well, I got to say, when you said tenacious, the one thing I didn't do was quit. And there are many times I wish I did, or wanted to.
Yeah.
I was doing another documentary at the time, and got the opportunity from Dominique Kalanopoulos, who was a friend of John's, and let me turn that off. And I had seen the video of those children back in 95, and it always struck me, and it wasn't until 2007 that I got the opportunity to make a film. So I dropped the film. I was my first feature doc to do this one, to do Ariel. And boy, it took a lot longer than I had any anticipation of.
My own sense of this is that it was a hidden hand, because a lot of this stuff is now coming to light and it's giving extra credibility to the stories that people are telling because of the U.S. government finally saying, oh yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, it's real. Sorry.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally.
So I think that had something to do with the timing, because you are right place, right time.
You know, that's funny. My editor, story editor, Christopher Seward, you know, he told me, because he's worked on so many films, he said, it's not up to you when the film comes out. The film decides when it comes out. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
But now I understand what he's saying. That it, when you put so much effort into something, it has its own, almost its own life. And I got to hand it to all the children and the people that were there at this event for doing such a great job of being honest and truthful.
See, that was pretty tough, because there's a clip that's on, I think it's on your Instagram page right now. One of the children says, there was nobody there to say now it's okay to talk about it. So we never did. And that's what happened immediately after this happened. The adults were immediately trying to shut it down, saying, nope, don't talk, don't talk. And the kids are petrified. And this is like the story of the century for some of them. And they're basically, you know, cease and desist, shut up, make it go away.
Yeah, that's, it's with everybody that around the world who's had these experiences. Most everyone's had that happen to them. It's difficult. You know, these people, all from Japan, China, you name it, every single country around the globe, have had to deal with themselves. And the sad part for me, because I've known a few of them, they haven't done so well because they've had nobody. And to have something like this happen, it's just extremely difficult not to be able to share it with somebody and not get a hug.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
yeah,
not get a hug and say, you're okay. You're okay.
You know, seeing the film, the ones who are okay to talk about it, you can see they've been through a few moments of trying to figure out how to integrate it. And this hasn't been easy. I don't think any of them found it to be a cakewalk.
No, I think, yes, I agree with that. That's the hard part, is how do you fit it into your world, because when it happens, it's your world gets shattered, your worldview gets shattered. John Mack talks about that a lot. And then how do you reconstruct your world to include that they're up, that these things are exist? Yeah, you're right on. Good question.
I like the thought. There are a couple of quotes here. One, UFOs are not a modern phenomenon. Dated in 1882, a Mexican astronomer reported his sighting in a French scientific publication. Okay, so that gives you a context and a little bit of background. And then the other, this is John Mack. If you ask a question strongly enough, the universe cooperates and gives you information relevant to the question. Now, what I heard was you didn't get into this film because originally John was going to do it himself, and then when he died, you stepped in. Is that accurate?
Correct. That's correct. Yep. I mean, I've kind of done that in my life, like with Matt, it's kind of personal, but when, you know, mentors of mine in electrical or mechanical have passed away, I've taken on their projects and finished them, you know. Wish we would all do that in a way, My grandfather always wanted to rebuild this grand piano, and I finished it in 1994. It took me 4 years, but
that was
my hats off to him, and this is my hats off to John Mack.
I'm just throwing this out. I've got a player piano that needs some TLC. Just let me know. It's here. It's got your name on
That's
it now.
That's great.
I've got all the rolls, 150 of them. Just the player piano needs a little bit of a... He needs a jump start.
Wow.
The tubes.
They're fantastic.
Oh, I love them. I love them. So, okay.
The engineering that went into pianos is pretty incredible.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking, I had to learn piano as a kid. I tried to fake it. It doesn't work. There's another thing too with this. What connected me was Tim Leach, the BBC news guy, who was like, "Oh my God, here goes my career down the tubes." And he was distraught about he knew he was walking a fine line, and that's just ludicrous. Here's a news story, and because of the content, it's not okay. He was a treasure.
Yeah, he. I wish he was still alive to see this. He was a very hilariously funny man, and a very unique person in the world. And he had seen a lot, and I more than most people should, as far as wars.
War, yeah. But I think that gave him some more compassion, knowing these were children. And
it did. Yeah, it did. And it surprised him. You know, he had his own whole journey till the end of his life in 2011 with this. He'd kept everything. He had kept all the recordings. I mean, even the tape recording, the message left on John Mack's machine, he recorded all that and kept it. And, as did most of the reporters who covered this story. They knew it was important. Yeah. Even though it wasn't accepted by the majority of the world.
Well, you brought Cynthia Hind in, who was also associated with MUFON, and she was an investigative reporter trying to find things out. And one of the things she did was say, okay, let's talk to these kids while it's fresh in their mind. Can we please have access? That's, oh my gosh, the Holy Grail.
Tim Leach really made he made that all happen. And then it went to, he called Cynthia and brought her in. And then Cynthia just did a really great job, you know, initially for the first person on scene, really.
And the guy she brought with her.
And Gunter. Oh, my gosh. that man is a very wise man. Every time I talk to him, the things that come out of his mouth, I'm like, wow, he is a gem. I can't wait to see him again.
You were trying to get radiation to see if there was any radiation on the film. And so that's where it goes. And that's what I'd heard about for years. You know, he went there. There was nothing really to show up. And then I saw the Daily Mail, the Daily Mail article where it says the one thing that was always missing from this story was the physical evidence. And lo and behold, magician out of the hat. Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're referring to in the Daily Mail.
They have impressions.
The photographs
he took.
Oh, the photographs of the impressions.
Yeah, the photographs of the impression.
And, you know, they did soil samples. They really did a good job considering everything. They did a great job. I mean, that's unheard of. Like, unfortunately, a lot of these incident sites don't get looked at carefully. And they did a fairly, they did a good job at the time.
It seemed, yeah. It seemed like that this was something that people were trying to investigate. And I think part of it was because there were so many children involved that this was something that the adults, I mean, the real adults, not the ones who said, shut up and go away. You didn't see it. It's nothing. It's your imagination, which is what happened to the kids, which would traumatize them even more.
Yes.
This, the group that you assembled, that you had there, and then bringing John Mack in gave it that levity, that credibility that I don't think would have happened without him.
That's true. I know a lot of the kids, I call them the kids because I've known them for so long.
Yeah.
They were pretty upset about the media and the media coverage, which I understand because they felt like left alone and not helped, you know, with what they actually went through. But the thing is, if they weren't, the media didn't cover it, we'd never know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And John Mack never would have been there. And we wouldn't be talking about it today.
Yeah. Well, that was the extraordinary part, too, that there was so much media coverage on that. That's unusual.
Very, very. It was, there's a ton of archival. Yeah, which is why I was able to tell, or we as a crew were able to tell the story in real time in the archival. That's unheard of. Because there was enough archival to be able to make the audience like really feel what it was like in real time.
Backtracking a little bit, this is September mm-hmm. 1994, and the story: 62 students at Ariel School in Zimbabwe witnessed something incredible. It's impacted their lives to this day. This is the promo copy from your website, arielphenomenon.com. Like you said before, some of them are so traumatized this isn't coming out, and they did speak to you anonymously, and others who were more forthcoming. You were able to follow one specific experiencer.
Yes, I chose to follow Emily from Canada because of she was in process. You know, she had not really addressed it for a long time, and she looked it up on YouTube and saw the incident on YouTube. This was a long time ago, and it was funny because when I first contacted her, or I didn't contact her, I first started the film, she sent me an email saying, what are you doing? This is our story. This is my story. This is my life. I was like, whoa.
Yay.
Okay.
Ownership.
Yeah. She wasn't very happy. And then it took, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And we finally spoke and I interviewed her, and I was like, my God, she's perfect mm-hmm. to take back to the school. And she's in the perfect, you know, she's in process. And I owe a lot of thanks to her for just being brave.
Yeah.
That was not easy for her.
Yeah.
I witnessed it, and so did our crew.
Well, it had to be traumatic. I mean, because going back, that was the first time. What was it? How many years that she'd been there? Decades?
21 years. Yeah.
And so seeing actually the fact that they had the photographs available for her to look at, what she drew, was that staged?
No.
that was absolutely incredible.
No, I was shooting, you know, I'm the one behind the camera, and we're shooting the two women out there in the field and where that craft had set down. And then I heard the voice behind me. I'm like, what? That's why I'm following behind them, because I wasn't ready for any of that.
Oh.
I wasn't ready for any of that. And I just had to roll with it and go with it. And so it wasn't, I could have shot it better, but it happened in real time. So I had to adjust.
I'm glad. The way you have chosen to do this brings us into the realness of what it might be like to go through that process. You know, so for some people who wanted less of that story and wanted more, you know, bells and whistles and photographs, there's more time for that. This is just getting the story some kind of an opening to the world to say what else went on here, because it's not done.
That's correct. there's way more to this story and far more witnesses to this than, and I'm hoping they come forward. Many have already, but I was already at the final cut stage. But there are plenty more who will come forward. I know it's up to them and they're where they are with it themselves. But there's plenty of third person that weren't at the school, not third person, but first person that were not at the school that also witnessed this. And there's plenty of those people.
You have a clue to that with some of the media coverage where it says, anybody who saw the asteroid, meteorite, whatever the heck it was, please contact us. Oh, there's a clue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's at least two other airline pilots that I'm aware of that I never was able to find. I found one who was connected to two others, so at least five that I know. And one I got to interview, but there's plenty more people, professionals, you know. And then there, you know, the Zimbabwe military has got something to say, and so does the South African military, Air Force, but they have not spoken yet.
Do you have another inclusion of the shamanic element from South Africa? Because I think that also gives its credibility.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That was a road that was a half hour segment. we had to cut it down a lot because there was just so many of the Sangomas, which are like, you know, over here we refer to them as witch doctors, and also chiefs of villages. I mean,
yeah,
that's a whole story. And when they describe these things, they don't say any of the terminology we use. They say it was a rock. It looked like a silver rock that was oval shaped, or they say it was like a basket with another basket turned upside down on top of it. That's how they describe it. They don't say flying saucer, UFO. They don't know any of those words. So that's fascinating to me because it's untainted.
Yeah. And not only that, they don't have the kind of stuff we've been putting up with for decades of, it must be your imagination. I love where they go, it's a collective hallucination. Who came up with that one?
Well, I talked to, you know, one of the things that people don't realize or know is that I went to psychiatrists, psychologists, showed them the interviews of the children and asked them about, you know, mass hallucination, which none of them say there's no example of that's been proven. So that was one, and the other one is mass hysteria.
Yes.
Which, you know, so I did a lot of that background work. So, cause I knew that I was prepared and still am for any critic, because I just knew that was going to come, and that's okay. I'm really prepared for all that.
I think it goes with the territory. You know, it goes with,
Yeah, you just have to. And I just don't even want, I don't really want to address them at all, but if I have to, I will. And with footage no one's seen and things that people don't know about yet. So, all having to do with Ariel.
That's a tease. I mean, as in a good tease.
Yeah, I don't mean it to be a tease. I just, that's just the truth.
Okay.
There's a lot of data and a lot of corresponding events from other countries that I will come out, if not by me, will come out by someone else.
Okay. I'm going to get my hopes up and assume it's going to come out.
Oh, I think it'll definitely come out. There's no question about that. It's just a matter of time and when it's appropriate.
Okay. So for right now, though, the show is available. And do you plan a DVD eventually with this?
We're going to the big, it'll be on the big streamers pretty soon. We're working on that. We decided to, since I ran into a lot of people that wanted to change the story, that I had to just say no to and put it out myself. I had to do that because of the story is what it was meant to be. And I don't think it needed to be all first person witnesses, which it is.
Yeah.
No third person, no second hand. It's all first person.
This is a quote from one of the children featured in the film.
There was nobody there to say, now it's okay to talk about it. So we never did. We're going to take a quick break. Again, my guest, director Randall Nickerson, The Ariel Phenomenon. Wendy's Coffee House, my guest, director Randall Nickerson, The Ariel Phenomenon. Reviews, these are on Rotten Tomatoes. This is Linda Cook. This is one of the most well-researched, thought-provoking documentaries you will ever see. It may change your worldview. Simon Foster, Ariel Phenomenon segues into a potent study of how corrosive to one's spirit the denial of truth can be. And Victor Stiff, no matter how you slice it, director Randall Nickerson's riveting documentary delivers a soul-wrenching experience.
I ran into a lot of people that wanted to change the story that I had to just say no to and put it out myself.
Well, they got the armchair quarterbacks who want to interpret everything, and they've never been there. They don't even sometimes don't believe in it. They've never had an experience legit. And then, you know, so you don't even, you miss the authenticity. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that. Like there's people that, you know, they just don't understand the deeper picture here, and that's okay. It's just, I had to put it out the way I saw it and the way they told it without mixing it up with any other people.
Well, some of the experiences of the kids when they're describing this, you know, you can tell it was mind-shattering, and they had to work at describing because there's one little boy who says he saw a black man. And right next to that is another little boy who says he saw a person in black. Now, there's a big difference between the two, but trying to use the language and compare notes, that's a challenge because we all process things differently, especially when it's beyond imagining.
Yes, that's very true. That was really the key to a lot of this was the independent. They were all independent witnesses. So they all had a different way of interpreting it. And they've all had a different way of dealing with it. Some people have blocked it out. Some people have faced it head on. Some people sort of go back there and think about it a little bit and then want to forget about it. There's all kinds of different,
yeah.
You know, it's like
okay.
Hot territory. So it's interesting. But you don't do that if it wasn't something profoundly impactful, which it definitely was for these people.
Well, to give the listener an idea of how incredible some of this might have been for the kids to tell, there was one, there were descriptions of the way these beings walked, and some of them, it was almost like a phasing out, that's my language for it, where the being would walk along and kind of glide, and then you couldn't see it, and then would appear somewhere else, and then, what? They're not watching a film, they're watching this happen, play out right in front of them in real time. How do you get beyond that? That's not our reality.
No. Whoever these things are, their technology and their whatever, you know, it's just weird and bizarre and disturbing in a way because it's nothing we understand. It doesn't make sense to our brains, but then again, we're not, I always say, we're just, you know, we're not the most evolved. We're not as evolved as we think, you know.
We're like a work in progress.
Yeah, we're a work in progress. We haven't got off our planet yet and got out of our solar system. We're really young, and we don't even know it.
No.
Unless we lay out in the stars for a while, and then we kind of feel, get the idea.
Yeah, if you're an astronaut with that overview experience, and they've got a simulation that they were testing to see if you could do that in an out-of-body, like a float tank, and have the overview experience superimposed. I wanted to sign up for it, but I'd already done a float tank experience, and so I was ruled out. It's like, oh, shoot. But to see how that would feel, you know?
Yeah, all the astronauts, they come back profoundly changed because they get the third-person objective perspective of our planet. Yeah.
I want to know, I mean, this for you has been in some ways excruciating, but also a labor of love. Yeah, okay. Opposite ends of the spectrum. But for those of us who value the experiencers and have had our own insight and experience, we need you. We needed this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I think as you continue to do the press and get feedback from people of all different walks of society, you know, non-believers, believers, experiencers, all that, it changes our whole story as a community, as a species, because this is consciousness that's evolving along with these sightings. You can't be unaffected, even if you don't acknowledge it. There's something happening.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in my from my perspective, all I can do is do the best I can to help break that stigma, you know, and point at these people who have gone through this to try to help them, because having things like that happen to you and not being able to even be acknowledged or given a hug is really hard. And I've seen it with other people, plenty of other people. I've seen what they've had to go through. And I have a lot of compassion for that. And that's why it was worth doing all of it.
Yeah.
It was worth the 14 and a half years I spent making this thing. It was worth it. It was really tiring and exhausting.
Oh, I know. I know. I read some of the things of, okay. And then all of a sudden the webpage would disappear. I'm like, darn it. Darn it. Where is he? What's he doing? Is it, you know, is it? And at one point, you know, somebody's asked, are you really going to be able to go through with this? Could it fail? And
yeah.
You're trying to think, I think money just maybe a year or two ago with Indiegogo saying that we've got to finish this. And I think at the time, you know, that was one of your moments of how the heck am I going to get this done?
Yeah. Money was a very, very difficult problem because, you know, I thought, okay, I can do this, maybe $100,000. Yeah. Multiply by 10.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Huh. Overshot. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, they're just, I had, you know, you have to get all these things. You have to pay for rights. It became a whole legal thing that I didn't, you know, just didn't plan for in the beginning, but it had to happen. So I had to keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
And it may have taken me another 10 years, but I would have got it done. Thank God for a lot of people who helped, and the Indiegogo and our donors and my family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember seeing at the beginning when you had some of these clips available as a preview, Dan Aykroyd, and I loved it. Okay, he's on board, you know. And as a soft introduction, saying here's somebody with a high profile who is already invested and believes, and he's saying this is something I believe in here, you know.
Yeah, I really appreciate everything Dan's done. He's an amazing man to begin with, but his heart, he's got a great heart, and
when I first was connecting to this story, I had seen an interview on Oprah, and I went back and did the math as, you know, as a journalist, reporter, investigator, going back and saying, okay, where does this fit in? So it led me to, you were already connected with John Mack. And then this was about your own story. What I would like to know is at that time you said something and you said it made you question. And this was it. What is life about? All right. So where are we now?
Yeah, good. You did your work.
Where are we now?
Well, since that time, I've done a lot of research, and I had to, you know, it's a journey you have to take, and to find out who's who, what's what, who really knows. And how many other people are there out there just like yourself? And then, you know, when this film came, the opportunity came, I felt like, you know, I don't need to speak anymore. I can tell other people's stories. And then what became very apparent to me was I have to do a damn good job, and I have to be really objective.
Yeah.
Because of my appearance on that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the other thing that it was about was you were already connected with John Mack, and then you had to stand up for John Mack.
That's true.
That story about him, I mean, the things, the ridicule that he went through, it's just like, what the heck are we as a society? Because this is just, investigating, asking questions, giving people a chance to have it time to tell their story, but they're jumping on people before the story even comes out of the box just because of the UFO abduction alien headlines. Like, okay, you know, I think it frightens people.
Yeah, I think anytime there's a worldview shift, and John Mack spoke about that, you know, with Galileo, when we, you know, there was a big fight over the fact that we weren't the center of the universe, that we were actually revolving around the sun. Nobody wanted to believe that. And people were willing to fight to keep that us being the center. And this is, again, another, and same with Darwin and all those three major worldview changes that that John mentions. And this is the next step, is realizing we're not that special necessarily in the universe. It doesn't mean we're not special as a species, but it doesn't mean we're the only one. And it doesn't mean we're the most intelligent ones.
Yeah.
And John Mack, hats off to him for putting everything on the line, because he did.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to know. Okay, when he died, did you lose a mentor?
I lost a friend. Yep, I lost a friend.
The thing that other people don't have, that he brings to this story, is the credentials, the background, and the fact that he had to go through the trenches and take all of those arrows and TNT, dynamite, anything that was tried to discredit him. He lived that. I think it made the story more important because he didn't back down, you know?
No, he didn't. He didn't. And, the unsung hero here, too, is the man who introduced John Mack to the subject matter, who was Bud Hopkins.
Ah, yes.
He was an incredible man, and had done the work, since the 70s, and took all kinds of hits, very much like John.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the credentials John had, but he brought John into the mix, which was really important.
He knew who to contact. There's some out there about Bud Hopkins too. There are a lot of films about this, but the deal with yours is that it brings the, it's a grassroots effort. It's boots on the ground. And I want to know, of the people that you spoke with that you would like to round two include, what is different about their stories?
Their stories, their stories are very unique. There's many of them. And basically, those stories cover, trying to be careful here.
Oh, yeah.
Some things that happened that other witnesses are not aware of, because they weren't there at that particular moment.
See, I want to know, did they have, like other people who've had a one-shot sighting, it didn't end with the sighting.
Mm-hmm.
It continued. And I want to know if those stories are coming forward.
That's not up to me. I can't even speak about that. That's up to those people who wish to speak about that. I can't. I don't want to create anything.
I understand, yeah.
For them.
Not a meeting. Yeah, because my next question was going to be, what do you think?
Yeah, I can't really say, but I mean, I really care about these people. And I just hope people give them, rush them and, understand that they're trying to live their lives and without a lot of fanfare, and just to respect them,
I've
been through a lot.
When you're talking about Emily going through her transformation and trying to integrate this and, decades, anybody from what I've read who has a spiritually transformative experience, event, encounter, it takes about 10 years to kind of come to grips with it. And that's just to say it happened, it's real, not to figure out how it fits in your life, but just to kind of go, because it just shakes you to the core. And so, some of these people may not have been ready at the time you were filming and shooting and doing all of this, but that story to me is still out there.
That's true. Yeah. When I interviewed Credo Mutwa, the knowledge keeper for the Zulu, and that was one of the things he told me. He said it takes decades to get through this. If you can, it takes decades. And he's right.
You spent time with him. He is a fascinating individual.
Yeah, he just passed away last year, unfortunately.
He's changed. he isn't afraid to talk about these kinds of things, and he has a whole different perspective on it. It isn't ostracized. It isn't unnatural. It's part of the experience.
It's part of the culture in a lot of ways. A lot of the different cultures, they never thought. When they look at the sky, they're like, yeah, no, we know there's life out there. There's no question. But yeah, the native, and Credo said it himself. He said the Western world is losing a lot of information by not paying attention to what we know. And he's right.
Yeah.
They you know, we're over here arguing whether it's real or not real. They've moved on from that.
They're past that. What can we learn from it? Now we know it's real. What can we learn? What can it teach us?
Yeah. We need to learn.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
It's only smart as a species to find out what's going on in our environment.
Well, and there's a very profound part of the film where these children, their faces are so expressive, and you can almost feel the pain of trying to tell adults something that they know adults aren't going to really want to hear. But I love the footage you chose with these children.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more. So there were sounds that were pretty disturbing as well, that they had never heard before. Probably most people never have heard those sounds before. That was all part of the event.
Yeah, the sound, some of them described it as a shrill, you know, a shrieking shrill. They had different words for it. Like the kids, the two boys who had, one saw a black man, the other saw a man in a black suit. They had different words, and that's where we get stuck on, well, I don't think that was accurate. No, you weren't there. You don't know.
Right.
You know, so you...
Well, that's what makes it even more credible, is they all had their interpretation, and they all used their own words.
Yes.
You know, like the sounds were, you know, high-pitched noise, or it sounded like a flute.
A flute,
or,
yeah.
You know, there were all kinds of different descriptions of the sound, but it was unique to each individual from what they knew. You know, like if they were in music class, they knew what a flute sounded like. If they weren't, they didn't. They had to describe it in a different way.
See, that I think is important to then extrapolate that to other experiencers who are trying to tell their story. We all work within our own social environment of what we have been exposed to. And so to try to describe something we have no frame of reference for or language for, oh, good luck.
Exactly. There's no cross-references that you can easily describe it. I mean, you don't have anything to compare it to. That's the problem. And so it's a struggle to see that, you know, it's a struggle to communicate what these people went through, because they are having a hard time themselves to have the words, the language, any kind of comparison to describe it.
Now, I'm going to go back to that video I saw with you on Oprah real quick, just because there's a part of that where you said it was, you know, would you just take a picture? And you said, I've tried. I think that way, you know, and I think your sister chimed in with trip cords or something, trip wires. I think with that background, you had an edge on anyone else who approaches this subject from the tire kicker point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up, my dad was a mechanic, and I grew up working in a garage. And he was an engineer. So I was a real nuts and bolts kind of person. And technologically, I was building models from a small age and electronics from a small age. So I don't want to get too much into that, but
that's okay. Yeah.
There are ways.
My point is,
you don't just sit down. Anyway,
you have a way to ask better questions. Sometimes we miss a point because we haven't got the right question.
That's right. That's right.
So when you know that these kids are trying to describe to the best of their ability what they have seen, and then you go to the indigenous perspective, it's a rock, and it was an oval rock, and it was silver, and it was on the ground. Okay, well, that doesn't give us a whole lot to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else says it was a disc, and it was silver, and it was hovering, or, you know, but and then made the noise. Oh, so what might we associate the noise with? You're in a position where you can go kind of in between and understand that they might have difficulty giving us an accurate, as we would require, interpretation of their sighting. And so I think you get more out of people when you come from that, allowing them to tell the story instead of not trying to tell it for them.
True. And I even if it was a, you know, double doctor physicist seeing this stuff, they'd have a problem describing it.
When you mentioned Bud Hopkins, was there anything about that when Bud, you know, was involved in the picture? Did he add anything to it?
You mean to Ariel? Or
yeah, from behind the scenes with John. You know, for, was there, because you said he's the one who called John in. But was there anything that he was able to, you know, in some way, shape, or form contribute?
Well, yeah, I did go to him for his perspective. Advice. Yeah, he also died in 2011. I wish a lot of these people were here. There's several that aren't, weren't able to be in this 2022, which is turning out to be a very interesting year.
And I don't think that's an accident. I mean, my own belief with the way this works, the timing, the fact that they're not having to put up with all of the nonsense of, well, do you believe it? It could have been a hallucination. Were you dreaming? Were you wide awake? Were you asleep? Okay, that's tired. People are creating
your
dissent.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to move on to looking at this in a wise way.
And that's what I want to know from the next, you know, from where do you go from here?
That's a good question. I have a couple other films in the can already that I have to edit. And then I've got another story that I can't even talk about because somebody else will jump on it as soon as I say anything.
Okay, I like that. You know that.
And I want to keep it fresh.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I've been dogging you for a long time. Not in your face, just quietly, silently, you know.
I didn't know
stalker,
that. Well, pleasure to finally meet.
Yeah. Well, I just...
I'm kind of a low-key kind of person, believe it or not. Yeah. I don't really... I've been a hermit for a while, just trying to get this done. I used to be a social person, but, you know, it changed.
Oh, I think when you've had these kinds of experiences, life goes a different direction. There's other things become more fascinating. And the superficial world is kind of like, okay, been there, done that. But boy, this is really cool. And I'm glad that that's what you're doing.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else. I mean, it definitely wasn't on my life path. That is for sure. Very hard right turn. But I feel okay doing what I'm doing because it's not about me. You know, it's not just about me and people I know and love. It's about our entire species. And I know that's not the proper science word because it's kingdom and above species are all these other classifications, but everybody knows that what that word represents, but it's doing things for our species, you know, on a larger scale rather than just for my own personal benefit. And that feels good, to be honest.
I wanted to get a quote and I can't remember it. It's like, this is something for the consciousness impaired, the collectively consciousness impaired. That quote is floating around. I'm going to have to find it now, but saying what we are doing with these kinds of topics, it's challenging us to upgrade our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think upgrading, our consciousness, our awareness, I found it really funny with that movie that said Don't Look Up. We don't look up generally.
Uh-huh.
As a species, we're pretty much horizontal or down. It's only on Saturday night when we're out in the yard staring at the stars. But it's very rare, generally, for us in our depends where you live. In the city, forget it.
Yeah,
you don't really look up at all. There's not much to see. But that's what's really interesting about countries in Africa. They stand outside and watch the sky. They don't have these devices. Well, that's changing now, to be honest. They know a lot more what's going on in the skies than we do.
Well, what I think is interesting, too, is that I went to maybe that might have been the second UFO conference, one I remember, because it was really impactful. And when I walked into the room, I I don't have any idea, but it seemed like everyone in there was smoking, and I was astounded. I was like, what the heck? It's the smoker convention. And then I read the book that they were doing on who sees UFOs, people who are smokers and dog walkers, because they're outside and they have a chance to look up. I thought that was
farmers as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Outside people.
Yeah. People that spend their a lot of time outside. There's a fair amount of wildlife photography as well. And, you know, it's funny, people think astronomers will see this, but they're looking through such a tight lens. They don't see the wide picture. I've spent some time with them. And very interesting, because I got to see what they look through. And I was like, wow, you're not going to see anything close. You're looking at stars that are millions, you know, of light years away. It is interesting. Perspective.
So there's something in the works. You cannot talk about it, because even the mere hint of it would cause it to be absconded.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be, create any drama or anything. It's just, that's the nature of this business of films and documentaries is, you know, I found out through making this film. There was a lot of people who wanted to step in and do it themselves. And, you know, I was trying to be really quiet. But boy, there's a lot of competition out there. And yeah, I just have to keep it quiet so nobody jumps on it before I do. And hopefully I'll get on that pretty soon. Yeah, you know, I really actually would love to just be working and not talking. You know what I mean? Talking doesn't get anything done, you know, for me.
Well, I'm glad, and I understand that you need to be tight-lipped about this. That just makes perfect sense. So I'm glad, though, to hear that you've got something in the works, and I really, mm-hmm. really do appreciate this film. I think it gives people who've had these experiences a lot more permission to allow that they are normal. This isn't something that makes you crazy, and they can talk about it if they feel the need without feeling like they're going to be persecuted and ostracized and shamed, which is what has happened in the past.
It is. It's very true. And I hope that in any way, if I can help to bring the people that are out that are professionals and have big reputations to lose, you know, there's famous people that I know that could change the world if they came out and publicly. And I hope they do. And I encourage, I just encourage those professionals to come out, because I think it's time. We got to deal with things. We got a messy situation on this planet. And we got to make some changes and start dealing with what's true. That's a start.
Aerial Phenomenon, available now. You can go to the website and check out the film. The trailer is there. AerialPhenomenon.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'll put links in the description for the show and on my blog. There is so much more to our reality than we can see. Our senses need an upgrade. Thanks for listening. Stay curious.